Or alternatively,
the truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Now, I know, Camo, we've got a fantastic Cody Johnson tune coming up in a few moments, but are you set to take part in this challenge as somebody who I know relinquished your Canadian citizenship and now proudly wishes to be referred to as solely USA, North American, almost born in the USA, except you weren't?
I can always tell a Canadian because they're the ones that just define themselves by saying, I'm not an American.
This is interesting. So, let's start off in the far side. If we swing the microphone over there to Shaylee McKenzie. Shaylee, would you like to say a few words to Camo, please?
Hi, Camo. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, can't complain, but I'm not American, so.
you make me say that. You don't say nothing. It could be, next up, Andy Kerr. Andy.
Hi, Camo. How are you doing?
Not bad, Andy. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
There we are. I see it. Andy obviously doing a wonderful sort of channeling, America through Northern Ireland, through all sorts of other regions. Shaylee, you originate from?
I'm from Johannesburg in South Africa.
Ah, you see, very close to Canada. Simon Sanchez, would you like to say a few words?
Hey, hello there. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
Good.
Okay, we've got a sort of line from that perspective. Professor Fiona Moore, would you like to, on your first ever show in the studio, say a few words to Camo, formerly Canadian, now American, in Nashville?
Hi, Camo. Greetings to a fellow American. Pass the Dunkin' Donuts and the ribs and the brisket.
Hey, well, when you say brisket, you got me going there.
Brisket gets Camo going. Okay. The fantastic Jeanette Longworth from the equally amazingly talented Blunderbuss, the magic of children's theatre. We've got a tune that's extraordinarily wonderful coming up in the next few moments. Would you like to say a few words, Jeanette?
Hi, how you doing over there?
No, I'm good. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. How's the weather?
It's beautiful. It's springtime, and the pollen is in full force, so it's great.
You can tell you a slight sort of bunged up scenario there, Camo. But
no, I'm constantly. Nashville is like the allergy capital of the planet.
Well, that's probably why they've got another series of the season renewed,
right.
Really. It's just all good stuff. I'm sure Tessa Snart will be delighted about that. Patricia H. Ashley. H stands for hottie. I know we haven't used it for months, but I thought I'd roll it out there. Roll it out. Patricia, would you like to share a few words with Camo?
Hiya, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad.
Oh, yeah, I see a drum roll for Patricia as well. It's fantastic.
Oh, wow,
could well be Patricia. Sam Stone.
Hi, Camo.
Hey,
I think
Sam.
We've spoken before.
Yes, yeah.
We have.
He may not know that you're originally from Winnipeg. And
that's
or maybe
true.
Not. And David J. Howe.
I'm not American.
He says that with classic. So there we are, Camo, there for yourself and the combined soul who's actually putting things together are the 8 souls who are actually with us. For the first part of this production, at least, we have Professor Fiona Moore, Jeanette Longworth, Shaylee McKenzie, Andy Kerr, Sam Stone, David J. Howe, Simon Sanchez, and Jeanette Longworth. We mentioned already.
There you go.
So, allowing for that, who is the fellow Canadian? Camo?
I'm not a Canadian. I can't tell. I can't remember.
You can't tell. We're not going to go through.
Well, I know. Yeah, but I can't remember the order and who said what. I'm pretty sure I had it, but I can't remember who said it. So I don't know.
So will the real Canadian please step up to the mic and say, "It's me, Camo, you former Canadian."
It's me, Camo, you former Canadian.
Yay.
And may I add, no Timmies for you.
No Timmies for Camo. It's code, but let's not go there, not at this particular time of the day. So there we are. Professor Fiona Moore is the authentic Canadian. Fiona, have you ever thought of becoming an American citizen?
No.
There you have it. It's something I just wanted to sort of raise, Cameron, because, you know, William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, Shane Rimmer, all great Americans in their way, and long may they continue. Meanwhile, would you like to explain why you've also brought a classic Cody Johnson number along for dissemination and delight today?
Cody Johnson is one of the big names coming out of Texas these days. There's Aaron Watson, Kyle Park, Dale Watson, and John Wolfe. Cody Johnson is one of those guys that is doing it without the labels. He's got his own thing happening. Much of these guys do. They're not interested in record labels. They just want to make their own music and do their own thing, and they're doing very well. Thank you very much. This is a brand new song for him, and it was just released, and it's already starting to climb the Texas music charts. We featured it as our Nashville Access Super Pick last week. Here's Cody Johnson and Wild As You on Siren FM.
Perfect introduction as ever. If I hadn't just spotted the machine had actually decided to do something slightly odd, we would have actually had If I Could Do Magic, which would have been a major shock in more ways than one in terms of the whole sort of scenario. But never mind. You know, we don't leave it on that, Camo. And I'm not going to actually sort of simply fill for the whole system, but I am going to ask you one more time with feeling to actually just deliver that, because I think, we haven't actually got the thing. Yes, we have. We have actually got the thing sorted through there. Sometimes, you know, you have this sort of moment where you say, just let the universe unfold as it will.
Absolutely.
Put the correct numbers in, put the correct buttons in the whole system, and the magic will actually transpire. Anything else you'd like to say, Camo, about life, the universe, and various other bits and pieces, such as, you know, why perhaps Fiona should consider dual citizenship? I mean, actually, Fiona, do you have citizenship with Britain?
I do, in fact.
Right. That's okay. Anyway, Cody is set and ready to go with a little number called Gotta Be Me, I think, from that sort of point
of
view.
No, that's...
It's not the one, is it? It's Cody.
That's not the one.
Do you know, something has gone slightly skew-whiff with our system here. Would you accept Cody Johnson and Gotta Be Me as a sort of option for Wild As You? This is what happens when you try to build that maple line and get the thing sorted through.
Watching that eagle floating on the breeze. As I listen to you dreaming by my side, I wish I could call you mine.
Yeah.
which I think in the end was indeed wild as you, Camo.
Exactly, it was. Yep.
Yeah, you see, this is what happens when you have a librarian who types stuff in and puts the same name for different sounds, which is causing me all sorts of confusions. It was a lot easier when we just used to have vinyl. Never mind, let's put it to the team. David J. Howe, what did you make of Cody Johnson and Wild As You?
I thought that was a very, very laid-back and smooth country tune. It sort of washed over you like a warm summer's day, lying on in the park with
steady
on
personal fantasies to one side, please.
So that was very, very pleasant. Very pleasant.
Ease away here, Shaylee McKenzie. Your second show, your second camo piece. What did you make of it?
I have to admit, I preferred it to last week's song, and I think the thing that I really like is how he has self-published his 6 albums, so it shows that he's, like, really serious about music, which is coming through in his singing.
And that's called Shaylee doing your research, Mackenzie. Sorted out there. That's absolutely...
You're welcome, Alan. Yes,
always good to rely on the English undergraduates. That's what I say, Shaylee. Go for it. Andy.
Oh, I just thought it was a very nice song to listen to, and I love the kind of southern twang on the accent. I'm going to have to get practicing for that for the next time I have to fill an American into.
Really? Because obviously, I would have thought you could have just channeled your time in Washington recently, because obviously Sean Spicer learned a lot from you.
Ah, see, on the Hill, they speak slightly differently.
They always do.
Yeah.
That's always been the line, really. Never mind. Don't get Camus started. It's National Pets Day anyway. He's got lots of photographs of his doggies and things. It's wonderful. Is it National Pets Day in the States, by the way, Camo, or was that just something you put up on Facebook just for a laugh?
No, it is. It's National Pet Day.
Well, yeah, it's great, you know, to know that even America, they actually sort of love their pets. It's just wonderful. First-timer Simon Sanchez, no relation to Alex, or indeed various other sort of Sanchez scenarios. What did you make of the Wild As You number?
I liked it very much. I kind of imagined being at home, pottering about doing something, maybe some sort of task that I've been putting off for a while, maybe putting a door handle on my door that's broken, and perfect, listening to that in the background and kind of thinking, life is good.
In over 4.5 years of Camo's Live from Nashville slot, nobody has used the critical line, "I'd listen to that whilst putting a door handle on."
Well,
this is wonderful.
You know.
It's genius. You know, already channeling it. I could see him writing it down for Nashville Access and said, you know, Simon Sanchez.
I've been here 6 years.
you're right. Here we are. 4.5 years to you seems like, you know, we carry on regardless. Fiona Moore, your thoughts?
I'd listen to it while lying on the lawn, drinking a beer, feeling the golden summer sun washing over me. That's what I'd do.
I would do that after doing the door handle.
It's like Vancouver all over again. And Jeanette.
Can I just say, I liked it. No explanations, I just liked
it. Keep
it
simple. Not from Canada, though I know she sounds always, although she's so Canadian, but she's recently launched a whole new podcast for her own. Yay! There's not enough room on the Stone Dates to fit in more than her one book review. I was going to say Sam for a moment, then no. Let me get the script right there. No, the name. Patricia.
Well, I really like that song. I think it would go really nicely with barbecue. He has a beautiful, beautiful voice. Yeah.
Good with barbecue and putting on doorknobs. Sam?
I'm thinking a Long Island iced tea.
And David, we've already got your fantasies there. Absolutely. That's all sort of, I think it's thumbs up. Well done. Camo, it's only fair. I mean, we had the one sort of extra. Would you like a little reward here? It's a reward of just over a minute's worth of magic from the magic of children's theatre and Blunderbuss.
I'll live for that.
Yeah, that's all right. You can stay with it. Because, Jeanette, would you like to introduce this, which you were kind enough to send over to me just a matter of hours ago, to actually say, you know, this is what actually is the magic of children's theatre. This is why, you know, Blunderbuss are coming this Easter to the new Lincoln Theatre Royal to perform all sorts of wondrous things.
I certainly would. It's a track called If I Could Do Magic. It's by the two actors in the show called Rebecca and Ellis. It's a song that was written just for them. It's a cracking number, and it gets all the children and all the grown-ups just singing along with it.
If I could do magic, I'd change the world. I'd make sure there was lots of scrummy food for every boy and girl, so they won't be hungry, just like I am sometimes. I'd wave my wand and cast a jinx to summon food and fizzy drinks. If I could do magic,
there's much more to magic. than casting spells. For in the tiniest of pleasures, that's where true magic dwells. Tea with a new friend.
Or a beautiful day.
Yes, and you don't need a magic cloak to giggle at a funny joke, to jump into a swimming pool and meet your best friend after school. Everything is magical.
For you, Vladimir Putin, of course. That's a bit of global economies there. You know, it would be nice. Camo, what did you make of If I Could Do Magic?
I'm like the worst one to ask about kids' music because I don't really like kids. So their music, I'm not big on the music. But if that's, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, nice. It is. And honest as well. Refreshingly honest, really. You know, I mean, he normally says, I don't like kids. I couldn't eat a whole one. It's all
I'll take nice from you, Camo. I'll do it. That's good.
Camo, it's been a blast as ever. You know, the way we actually managed to fool the audience and thinking we were going to play the wrong one, the sort of panic whistle which we sort of put one forward there. It's all great. In fact, so good. I'm going to ask Andy to put those last two questions to you. Go, Andy.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Sure, I have.
Yes. Is he going to have another interesting time in the very near future? That'll do. I realise you don't have any headphones on whatsoever, so you're lip-reading Camo's responses. Just go with it, please.
Can we count on you to join with us again in the future?
Yep, I'll be back next week.
Brilliant.
Night after night, I try to
Jeanette, would you like to share with us about Blunderbuss and how people listening to this show might even be able to attend Blunderbuss when they come to Lincoln in 168 hours from now?
Oh, 168 hours?
Thereabouts.
I'm not going to talk for 168 hours because that's a long time. No, we are performing at the New Theatre Royal. This is our first visit there. It's The Sorcerer's Apprentice is a cracking show. It's for 3+ and their families, and no one's left out because... we're a very interactive children's theatre company. So we say we've invited you all along to our party. So we're going to make sure that you're involved and you have a good time. So as soon as someone walks through the door, the actors say hello to them. On the way out, we say goodbye to them. And we'll be there with the show on the 17th of April at 2:30. And it's just a cracking, cracking family show. And as we're a local company, we want to promote a local theatre.
Great fun, according to The Guardian. And Fiona, we also have new for 2017-2018, Biff, the ballet dancing dog, live on stage.
Yeah.
That's something.
I mean, Andy, you're particularly impressed with Biff, the ballet dancing dog.
When I was in the States, I saw a dog on a skateboard during a parade.
Wow.
And that blew my mind. So a ballet dancing dog is just, I'm not going to know what
it is. It's taking those American challenges and batting them right back across the Atlantic in a sort of special relationship sense, really.
Yeah, I'm wondering, is it wearing a tutu?
It is wearing a tutu.
Nice pink tutu. It's gorgeous.
What sort of dog is Biff?
It's a pug.
Simon.
Hello.
In terms of Blunderbuss and becoming involved with this awesome Nottinghamshire company, which basically you've gone all around the world, let's face it, in a whole range of things. Dogs Don't Do Ballet, Mr. Zakur's Magic Toy Shop, and of course Dotty the Dragon. What sort of led you to the company of Jeanette to actually say, yes, Blunderbuss is for me?
Myself, Jeanette, and Bill, the artistic director as well, we've dedicated our lives to work with children because they're the best audience, the most honest audience members. They're the ones that are going to shape the future, and our passion is making the best possible theatre we can for them. We got into children's theatre because we care about the audience, because we want to be the best children's theatre company in the country, and fortunately, because of setting the bar very high, people and children and families have recognised that, and we go to Singapore, and we go to Malaysia, and we go to Hong Kong and Dubai, we go to Derby, we go to
Dubai and Derby, so similar,
very, very, very similar.
You've got your oil industries, you've got your sand, you've got
one and the same. But no, we care, and we care about children having the best experience because, you know, respecting children. And letting children have ownership of their own creativity and imagination and putting on something that we're proud of, I think sets a good example for children that you know, adults can care and be passionate about something that isn't, you know, something that's ordinary.
And I have to ask, on blunderbuss.co.uk, is that indeed your good self in Lost and Found?
Oh, my God!
Performing on stage. Is that, you know...
Obviously, I'm just going to describe his view. There is I can only say stunning chap in a red and white jersey. And some
Where's
sort of
Wally? The sequel.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah. That is me. That is a production that we did a couple of years ago called How to Catch a Star by Oliver Jeffers. Mm. And we're going to be performing...
Burn your hands, of course, if you're not very careful.
Yeah. Well, nets. We tried nets.
Nice.
Yeah. But we're performing later this year Oliver Jeffers' Lost and Found, which is about a little boy finding friendship in a penguin. And a great adventure it
the
is.
The penguin
too.
Doesn't actually have a moonlighting job looking after British Gas commercials, does he?
Well, times were hard, yes. You know, you've got to diversify. Even penguins have to do that. But yeah, so we're producing that at the end of this year.
Well, you know, to quote from our wonderful correspondent, one of the interesting challenges that fledgling comic book creators face is that people tend to underestimate exactly how hard it is to produce sequential art. Cue Ed Fortune. How are you, Ed?
Not too bad. That sounds very familiar. Is that me talking about... goodness, it's not Bust, it's Brethren Born.
It is indeed Brethren Born. So I leave it to your wonderful skills in which you can identify being sent the correct schedule, which you were. You just sort of said it sounds like last week's schedule. No, there were at least five changes in it. It's not as though we repeat the same programme. Shaley will say we didn't have any Blunderbuss theatre on last week, did we? You know, no Sam Stone, no Patricia H. Ash, the H stands for Hottie. No, indeed. You know, all of these newbies to the whole sort of sequence. There's Ed saying, it looks as though you've sent me the same schedule. Lord. Anyway, would you like to share with us, Ed, the fact that not only do you know Fiona Moore, Fiona's in a very historic position because she's beaten you, Ed. She's beaten you insofar as after, between the two of you, something like 15 years of connections on these sort of things, Fiona's finally got to spend an entire show in the Midweek Drive studio system, whereas Ed, of course, as yet... You haven't. I mean, you made the ultimate sacrifice. You said, it's all right, Robin Pierce can come in my place.
To be quite honest, I would love to make my way up to Lincoln, but it just, they don't encourage me. And I'm a very large chap, but I'm not quite that large. Yes, it must be.
Do you know, we were singing your praises on Sunday's Sci-Fi Scarborough event, in which, when we were talking to some of the fabulous writers and artists there, Nick Brokenshire, of course, in 2000 AD and Judge Dredd, we were fully plugging your scenarios there, Richard Pierce Rayner. So you should listen to that. Anyway, Fiona, any questions for Ed, who, of course, you'll be connecting with when I think you're both doing Sci-Fi Weekend in a matter of hours from now?
EasterCon, actually.
You see, I'm always confused. You know, EasterCon. This explains why I always go to the wrong one. So carry on.
So, Ed, what's your EasterCon schedule look like?
I'm only actually on EasterCon for the Sunday because I'm kind of spread thin across the Easter weekend. So we're going to dive in, and I'm doing two pieces. I'm a bit about genre and fan fiction that I'm looking forward to immensely, and a lovely panel about the Hugo Awards and Best Long Novel, which is great because I've read all of them now, which is nice. So I can talk about which ones I think are going to win and why it's going to be Nine Porks Gambit. Because it's going to be Nine Porks Gambit. Honest, it is. I hope it is, because I like Nine Porks Gambit. I like the rest of them as well, but Nine Porks Gambit.
Do you get the feeling that Ed is actually promoting Nine Porks Gambits there?
Do you reckon?
Personally, I'd actually put in a plug for Cthulhu and Other Monsters, as written by Sam Stone, which I'm actually holding up. In fact, I'm pretty sure of Sam actually holding up Cthulhu and Other Monsters, something which I'm astounded you haven't actually reviewed as yet in Starburst magazine. I mean, goodness sakes, what's going
as
on?
As lovely as it is, I don't think it's up for a Hugo Award, which is what I was talking about. But yes, indeed, Cthulhu and Other Monsters, which was launched at Sci-Fi Weekend, which was 2 weeks ago, I believe.
Yeah, well, there we are. So confirming that, Sam, that this book, holding it up here, right-hand side of the headphones, Cthulhu and Other Monsters has indeed now been launched. It's out there, so to speak. Was it a successful launch, Sam?
It was hugely successful, Alex. The best launch, I think, that we've ever done. Yeah. So I was very, very happy. It was a fantastic weekend. And, Ed, I was actually shocked to realise that all weekend I never saw you because we were all so busy on programming. You were busy on programming. David and I were busy on programming, so I'm gutted that I actually never said hello to you all weekend. That's awful, isn't it?
He was just avoiding you, Sam.
I'm used to that.
The only time I saw David Howe was at the very start for a quick brief, and then on the panel that I was on. And I think I saw Robin once, and then I was running around. There was one moment where I was about to be on stage on the other side of Hafen, and I was in the Mash and Barrel doing another thing that I agreed to do. And then somebody looked at my watch and went, oh dear. As I'm running over the bridge, there's one of the lovely chick guards looking at me going, oh no, we found Ed Fortune. He's running at speed towards the stage. And I think I got there with 2 minutes to spare, which was lovely.
We got lots of exercise, didn't we, that weekend across that bridge in between the venues.
You have to keep anticipation at its peak, etc. Shaylee, any questions for Ed or Sam or the rest of the sort of cultural team here?
I've actually got a question for Sam. What inspires you to write? I haven't read any of your books yet, so I have to apologise, but what is your main inspiration?
Oh, gosh, it's everything. I get inspired by everything. I dream a lot, so I dream a lot of my horrible stories. Obviously, H.P. Lovecraft is an inspiration for Cthulhu. Different situations, different films I see. I like to cross and mix things together and make something new, which is what we call creating and inventing new fiction and genre these days, because nothing's really original anymore, is it? It's just how you spin it.
Well, apart from Midrick Drive, we always like to sort of ensure everything is completely original, apart from when Ed says it's just a repeat of last week. You know, it's unbelievable. Ed, we started by talking about Brethren Born. Would you like to just explain what Brethren Born issues 1 and 2 actually focuses on? Otherwise, you can tell that somebody would turn around and say they started off with that tease and then they didn't follow it through.
So Brethren Born 3 is currently being funded on Kickstarter, crowdfunded. Brethren Born is an indie comic book. Lots of indie comic books these days, because making a comic book without the resources of a publishing house takes a lot of effort because it's artists for that ring writing. Comic itself is a superhero mystery adventure in the sense that someone makes up with superpowers. They can't fight crime because it's just the real world and it doesn't, you know, there isn't a convenient crime for you to fight every Tuesday. And instead they get horribly exploited and all the rest of it. So it's sort of an examination, as it were, into what would happen in a world where superpowers are a real thing. And it kind of jumps up and down across time as well. So it does that sort of lovely kind of adventure thing, where they, you know, there's snapshots of what the world is, more snapshots of the world is. What's interesting about it as a comic is the first issue is full of great ideas. The execution isn't brilliant. By the time they get to the second comic, the execution is spot on. By the time they get to the third comic, it's definitely professional level. And that's interesting just as an exercise in how to do it, how to get your start in comics.
We're sharing, obviously, Patricia's new book podcast. It would be remiss of us not to actually allow you to promote shamelessly, Ed, your own Brave New Words podcast.
Oh, blimey, Brave New Words is still going strong. The next one that's going to be live on Fab Radio International on Sunday definitely won't be a repeat. It will also be all about the Hugo Awards. Brave New Words can be found on the Wonky Spanner website, can be found on the Starburst magazine website, and you can also find us on Facebook on the Brave New Words Super Secret Book Club.
So what which is super, but not nice. Really secret. Yeah. So, irony. I never thought Jordan Royce, editor, of course, of Starburst, the world's longest-running magazine of cult entertainment, who amongst its alumni includes, of course, David J. Howe, back when he was a young man. He still is, after a fashion, although that's funny. We hear the words "yes, indeedy" being used by Jordan Royce. Yes, indeedy. Never thought he'd actually say it. Now, this is the beginning of the run-up to the glorious 40-year anniversary. 40 years ago, the legendary Dez Skin started Starburst magazine. Andy, that's before you were born.
It is, yes. Not by a long way, but fair enough way.
Exactly. You know, it's phenomenal. And yet, here we are, the world's longest-running magazine of cult entertainment.
Starburst is celebrating in really good style for that. We will have the... I can announce... Starburst International Film Festival 2.
Yay!
August Bank Holiday Weekend. It's been confirmed.
Which Bank Holiday Weekend is that?
It's the August. Steampunk Weekend. It happens in Lincoln. We leave Lincoln, we go to Manchester. It's quite simple. You know, that's the key thing. You know. Sorry, steampunkers. Yeah, choice of the whole thing. But I was talking about that, actually. Only a matter of days ago, at the Countryside Links thing, I think there is going to be another Starburst Film Festival. Speaking of film festivals, of course, Fiona, you start duty on the Sci-Fi London Film Festival very shortly.
I do indeed. Very excited to be so.
Louise Savvy will be with us tomorrow morning. So it's all good, to use the classic W1 phrase. Let's move over to Shaley. Last two questions for Ed Fortune, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic device connection today?
Nicely put.
I absolutely have. I always do.
It's the way he has a wonderful telephonic device connection to air. Which
it's like
makes
telepathy,
he's plugged into the system. Yeah. It's like, you know, certain hotels actually have that style. Sort of device just by the bed, certain right across the way. It's amazing.
Will you be joining us again?
Absolutely, if you'll have me.
I think so. Despite the fact that he sort of replied all and said, this is an out-of-date schedule. Let's humiliate each other. I'm not going to rest on this sort of basis.
I did wonder what that email was.
Yeah, so did I.
I'm confused by linear time. I just looked at the dates and went, hang on, where am I? But yes, linear time is nonsense.
Really. Linear time is so confusing. Let's give a final plug to the Starburst Film Festival. Will all the details be going up online at the Starburst website, or indeed will they be obviously there? How soon can people start registering for the second International Starburst Film Festival?
If you've got a film, you can already start registering your movies, and tickets will be out shortly. But right now, the date's been announced, the it's been booked, everything is happening. And we're just getting more filmmakers in at the moment. So you can, if you've got a movie, submit it for the festival, because we'd love to see it. And you could win a Roboto, which is the lovely prize that we have. And you can start booking soon. Watch the Starburst website, and obviously...
We should be getting our midweek driver, Darren Scales, to actually get his movie across, and we've got the midweek driver that's also doing the film challenge. It's all going to be splendid. Coming up next, hopefully, Ilana Rain. The recording of The Mechanical Worlds took place on a sunny spring day in Brighton at Medway Studios, where, Caldor City and Radio Bastard fans take note, the most recent few Magic Bullet productions were recorded. The opening lines that were uttered by the fantastic Fiona Moore in the equally fantastic Vorp Vorp, yes, I know Hannah Brown normally says it, but she's not here, Vorp Vorp TV exclusive that's actually there. And guess what, Fiona, we've got your co-author online at this very moment as well, who has also written extensively in said Vorp Vorp magazine, including, of course, the classic Whereas the Three Dalek books published during the 1960s were breaking new ground and bursting with the chaotic inventiveness, the four Dalek annuals that came out during the 1970s, while being more measured and formulaic, were also considerably darker in tone. Alan Moore, welcome to the Midweek Drive.
Yes, Alan Moore, I'm famous.
I thought you'd say. You see what I did there? You see what I did? We synthesised Fiona Moore, Alan Stevens, into the exclusive interview featured in Vorp Vorp magazine of Alan Moore.
Yeah, I've now got a huge beard. I'm going to claim all the money he's been getting all these years by faking him, by pretending to be me and Fiona.
Yeah, I've said that for many times because we've never actually seen Alan Moore, Fiona Stevens, and indeed Alan Stevens, Fiona Moore. It's very confusing. It's like genetic engineering gone bizarrely from that point of view. Fiona, this is the longest sequence that Caldor City have effectively done on the programme because you've been with us since the off. I don't know whether Alan would have been listening live. Probably not. You know, he's got other things to do, like, you know, knobs to fit on doors and looking after Aisha and Zukov. They're cats, by the way. But Fiona, how's it been going for you now? We're almost halfway through your first ever studio event.
It's been going great. So far, I've impersonated an American and interviewed Ed Fortune.
Yeah, it's a win-win situation. We got David J. Howe and Sam Stone in the studio as well, Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, how are you, all right?
Yes, they haven't got any headphones on because they're lip-reading, as we said, or using the old teletext scenario. But you can see them looking very happy if you go to the Facebook page, and it's all there. You can even like it if you wish. Does he do the Facebook thing?
He does indeed do the Facebook thing.
Yes,
well, I did a Facebook thing. You liked something of mine yesterday. What was it this morning?
Yeah, I always like things that you put together, Alan, because I feel it keeps you happy, it keeps the world happy, it keeps the whole joys of Alan Stevens' world ticking over. By the way, how are Zukov and Aisha?
They're okay, they're fine, yeah.
And Aisha, of course, can be seen in Derby shortly, where she's actually taking part in a UFO convention. Oh, no, sorry, that's Aisha Brough. Easily confused. But, yes, nice to see.
A bit cat-like.
Well, there you have it. Yes, and one day they may appear on the programme, or maybe not. I gather somebody once said, Sam Stone, Aisha wants to do an agony art piece on this. I don't think she's the itch. We haven't clarified that. We've got lawyers to speak to lawyers. It's a different line. Sam's denying all knowledge, and quite rightly so, too.
Don't know anything about it. Never heard about it. Ever. Never heard that said before.
Really?
I think you must have dreamt that one.
No, I think I'm fairly sure we can actually go back and find those things will be
correspondence. It's all in black and white.
Let's talk a little bit about this fantastic magazine that Shaley's just had a quick little flick through, because I don't think you had a chance on the event itself, because you just made the stone tapes on the Sam Stone, so, yeah. Which is enough to be in awe of the Definitely. Stone and David J. Howe and everybody from that point of view. But your thoughts on Vorp Vorp?
Actually looks really cool. And why is it called Vorp Vorp?
Nice question. Do you want to take that one, Alan?
As far as I'm aware, it's the and when they were doing Doctor Who comic strip, they would see the TARDIS materialise and dematerialise, and they wrote Vorp Vorp as the sound of the kind of wheezing and groaning sound you heard. I think that's right, isn't it, David?
Yes, that is correct, Alan. It's from the comic strips, and it appeared sort of, you know, in large comic lettering as the TARDIS appeared and or disappeared. So it's a representation of that wheezing, groaning sound that the old girl makes.
It's like the late 70s.
So you see, Jeanette, Vorp Vorp could be another possible title for another Blunderbuss production in many ways.
It certainly could, particularly as, you know, both Simon and I do both quite like our Doctor Who and our Star Trek and our also other bits and pieces. So, yeah, we'll put it to Bill.
Simon, you'd go with that?
I'd concur with that as well. I'm also thinking about now, my autobiography might be Vorp Vorp as a wheezing, grounding sound.
That would suit you perfectly, actually.
Thank you very much, Jeanette.
No problem.
Yeah. Gentleman who, as we discovered last week, did your PhD in graphic narratives, and what title once again, Andy, is?
Comics, Propaganda in the Second World War.
Comics, Propaganda in the Second World War.
That's interesting.
I knew from your own perspective that you'd be particularly focused on the comic strips actually there. What are your thoughts of Vorp Vorp the magazine?
I'm very, very impressed. I'm going to have to start subscribing or something to this wonderful publication. It's very, very high quality. It feels good in the hand. It smells lovely.
And that's all we look for. You know, yeah. Does it feel like good in the hand? Does it smell lovely? How often we've tried to assess magazines on that basis. So Starburst, SFX, does it feel good in the hand and smell lovely? It's a critical point. Anyway, Andy, any questions you'd like to put to Alan? One of the many correspondents that, of course, together with Fiona, have made the latest edition, Volume 3 of Vorp Vorp, just that little bit more magical.
How did you manage not to turn into a gushing fanboy when you were interviewing Alan Moore?
I didn't interview him. That's how I got around it. A friend of mine called Gareth Kavanagh interviewed him, and he prepared a lot of... He was a bit worried about just talking to him about Doctor Who, because Alan Moore sort of started his career and did a few early Doctor Who comic strips and sort of backup strips for Doctor Who Weekly, and then, of course, went on to a lot of other things. And he was a bit concerned about talking to him about this, you know, because it was made a long time ago and it may seem a bit obsessed. So he did a huge amount of research, like to A-level standard, to research Alan Moore, and then went to Alan Moore, and all Alan Moore would talk about was actually Doctor Who. So I think that was kind of a good thing.
Would you say you got an A for your A-level research?
I think he would have got an A for his A-level research, yeah. Gareth put a lot of... But all kind of wasted, isn't it? Yeah. I didn't get A-level, and also we didn't get to speak to him about...
Swamp Thing, and other classic scenarios, and Watchmen, of course, and then, of course, what Dave Gibbons is like, who, as you know, Dave Gibbons is also a midweek driver. It's time he came back on the show. He will, before too long. Funny enough, actually, I was thinking about David J. Howe on Saturday. Not in a scary way, David, you'll be pleased to know. Please, don't go there. But Chris Achilleos was one of the guests in the Artist Alley for Sci-Fi Scarborough, and of course you produced the target book of all Chris Achilleos' cover, did you not, David?
That's correct, yeah. No, Chris is an old friend of mine. I first met Chris way back in the 80s, I think. I interviewed him for my fanzine, and we had a chat about all sorts of things then. I commissioned him to do a special painting for a magazine I published called The Making of the Five Doctors, which was kind of 1983, I think, 84, that might have come out. Chris is a lovely guy, really talented artist, done some fantastic work, and it's great to see him still around and still doing stuff.
Still doing Sci-Fi Scarborough.
Yeah,
it was a
still
wondrous
making
time.
A nonsense of it all.
And, of course, on the video, Patricia Ash, you with Gearheart, Steampunk, Monk, Spearpunk, and so on, are you quite into graphic narratives, or are you more the kind of the long-form prose?
I read them both. I would say I do more of the long form prose, but you really can't beat a good graphic narrative.
Yeah. Andy, going back to your own research, working with Professor Jane Chapman and lines of that, what are the headlines that come out of this magical thing that you discovered? Because there's clearly a wealth of material that comes across not only, of course, the American launch of the superhero aspect in 1938 and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if I could soundbite it would simply be comics are awesome. And if I had any longer, it would be comics are awesome in every single way.
See, this is... Fiona, you're nodding sagely on that one. And Fiona's office was actually used in Thor, God of Thunder, at Royal Holloway College, London. So it's very good. But this is the outside of the office, really. They didn't actually go into the office.
Yes, though I like to imagine that still in a parallel universe, Alan Skarsgård really does occupy my office.
I'm sure he does. You know, that's the multiplicity of the universe scenario there. Jeanette, have you got any questions you want to put to Alan Stevens about life, the universe, why we haven't got any clips of the fantastic audio drama that we started describing that was being recorded at the whole thing there? Frankly, because I just haven't had time to actually load up materials yet, you know.
Got a CD in front of you.
We don't have a CD player in this studio. That's so 20th century.
So we're often told in our industry, Simon and I, why aren't you doing a proper job? Because your job is for children. Do you ever get that question? Why aren't you doing a proper job?
No, never. Yes. Never been asked that question at all. Ever.
Yeah, I've never been asked that question as well.
Maybe it's just me then.
That's probably just you, yeah. Who are we? people.
It was a nice try, budget.
Who are you associating yourself with?
Blunderbus.co.uk is the go-to website. David, have you been questioned about? Because you have been in proper jobs and you've worked through all that sort of things before you realise, no, my heart is in Telos Publications.
I don't think I've ever been asked. You know, I've got a proper job because, as you say, I kind of sort of have a proper job as well. But I think any job, if you enjoy it, then that's the main thing. I always say to people, you know, work is to earn money to do the things that you actually really want to do. If you happen to enjoy what you do for work, then that's a double benefit. So I think that's tremendous. I did want to just add one thing about the VWARP magazine we've been talking about here. Magazine's a bit of a misnomer because it's 200 full colour pages in this thing that's being passed around the studio.
A bookazine, David.
It's a bookazine. And if I mention that it also comes with a choice of covers, it also comes with a free CD, A Dalek Adventure, that's been recorded. And one of the cover actually came with a free 7-inch single version of that Dalek Adventure. And if I also tell you that it actually just costs £10, you would probably be quite amazed that this thing that is incredible is just £10. And I think it should be snapped up by everybody. And so many people, Alan, I can't hear you, sorry, mate, but so many people,
He's not
Alan,
saying anything, David, put, don't worry.
No, I'm just, because Alan can comment on this as well, put so much time and effort into this, all for absolutely nothing. It is a complete labour of love. So, Alan, take it away.
Yes, I feel that if we had charged, then it would have bankrupted them, wouldn't it, really? They'd have to sell their houses because it would have been an enormous amount of money over 5 years. And, the magazine, even the magazine would be like £30 a go, or they would have to subsidise it by selling their house. But I have heard, I've seen... copies of VWARP going already, you know, on eBay for £103. One sold 2 weeks back. Have you seen that?
Yeah, that's David actually getting some more funds in for his Doctor Who.
Are we finally?
It's all there. It just goes to show quality will out. That's the important thing.
Doctor Who's on a weekend, isn't it? Quality.
That's a nice segue. I see what you did there. Fiona, any thoughts that you'd like to put to it at this stage, such as, is Stain still standing?
Well, is it?
Yes.
Well, I'm not, but Stains is still there. I still look at the window and I can still see the green leafy Stains.
Yeah. Heavens, that's all right. And Aisha and Zhukov, are they well?
Yes, they're fine. Zhukov just had something to eat.
Splendid.
Aisha's been lying on the bed all day. They got me up at this morning to feed them.
Alex, your suggestion that Aisha should do an agony aunt column is absolutely brilliant. Mm. I can just imagine her agony aunt column. Mm. Yeah, dear Aisha, I think my boyfriend's gone off me. What should I do? Well, hiss at him.
Nice, you see.
I'm having problems with the neighbours. What do I do? Go around him.
Yes. Well, it's a way forward.
I don't get on with my brother. What should I do? Eat his cat food.
Yep.
These are the kind of classic things that emerge when creativity is allowed to manifest. Andy, would you like to put those last two questions to your man, Alan Stevens, please?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Yes, it was very good.
And can we count on you to join with us again in the future?
Oh, yes, I'm sure you can.
Brilliant.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Nah. Asked you once, asked you twice now. There's lipstick on your collar. You say she's just a friend now.